Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Yasagone, Will Bluewater, a 7th grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Beginning of Part 1. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of Part 2. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Blue Otter, and this is Prophecy Keepers Radio. And we're privileged today to have as our guest Yellow Horseman, and he is a mixed-blood Cherokee Creek and Choctaw and Métis, which is, you know, French mixed-blood, and he's an elder. He traveled for many years with Maki Ruka, who is a Maori elder, and learned a lot from Maki, and did quite a bit of traveling all over the world. And I don't want to mess up your introduction, so we'll just let you go ahead and have tell folks a little bit about yourself. What do you like to be called, Yellow Horse?
My name is Yellow Horse Man, and one of the things that I do is before I start doing anything, I always like to offer a prayer to Creator, just to center ourselves, to kind of open our hearts, and certainly to have good guidance, because the message I want to give tonight is one that I want to be able to touch people's hearts, and I call the teachings and things that I do medicine of the heart, and I'll tell you how that came about. But it was certainly a great journey to be with Brother Mackie Rucker, who has now passed on. And he passed on in 2001. And he passed on 11/11. And it was really an auspicious date.
Wow.
And but it was a time of a new beginning for a lot of things. So we're going to begin with a prayer. And I'd like to also say thank you to Blue Otter and to the great medicine that you have put out to be able to spread the message of elders across the country, and also to put up such a beautiful website. And I just want to say this for you, brother, that if people want to make a donation to help you out and to continue this work, I know that this will be most appreciated by you, but it would be most appreciated by the listeners and the people that are get a chance to listen to some of the elder speaking. And everything and all the things that I say, I'm not representing any tribe, nation. I'm just speaking from the heart and things that I've learned along the way. And certainly there are a lot more elders and people that I know out there that I consider so much more wiser than I am. But the message I want to give tonight is one that I hope that will be able to touch the hearts of all the people that have a chance to listen to it. So, great-grandfathers in the four sacred directions, good spirits, Mother Earth, Mother Sky, great creator, maker, breath, giver of life, once again, great mystery, we come to you on this beautiful day that you've given to us to be able to bring us together as sacred family across the world, to help us to unite our spirits once again, to open our hearts to the great medicine that you have sent to each one of us, peace, harmony, truth, and unconditional love. May we always live that way and be able to walk into your sacred dream of peace. Let the world be filled with your unconditional love, great creator, and may we always be guided by our own hearts. We pray for only good things this day, creator, and I ask you to bless our grandmothers as the wisdom keepers, our mothers, the builder of man, our sisters, the nature of all things. Bless our beautiful children that are coming to us at this time in the sacred dreams that they walk, that they be the peacemakers of tomorrow. We pray for only good things this day, Creator, and we ask you to guide us in our hearts and minds and spirits as we begin this conversation and this ceremony in life. We ask also that you help us to understand what it is that our journey is to be here upon Sacred Mother. We thank you for allowing us to walk on your sacred altar that we call Mother Earth. We ask your blessings upon all who lives here. And we pray for all our relatives who were here before us, long before we put our footprints here, the four-legged, the winged, the ones that swim and crawl, all the rooted kind, the ones below the earth, and the ones that are above. We give you thanks, great creator, for all that you give to us. We pray that we all become one mind, one body, one spirit with you. And we thank you for all that we receive. Aum Tathagata.
Well, we sure appreciate that. And I understand you have a remarkable young lady who lives in your house who is 2.5 years old, and her name is Crystal Rain.
Yes, she is. She was born August 12th, and she's a very special little person, and there are many of them being born at this time. She will be 3 years old on August 12th, and she has already been able to get up and to give talks to people, and she talks about God. And one day I asked her, when she was 15 months old, I says, "What does God look like?" Because she had just told me whenever I was speaking with her about it like in Mommy's tummy. And she looked at me and she folded herself up. She says, tight. And I thought, oh my God, she knows everything. I'm so sure of it. So I asked her, I says, honey, I says, what does God look like? And she looked around the room and she looked around and then finally she looked out and she saw the sun and she says, brighter than that light, Daddy. I thought it was the most amazing answer. So I would like to ask Crystal Rain if she would like to be able to speak to anyone out there who is listening. And we try not to prompt her, but she is she speaks in 12 different languages.
Mm.
And she's only 2.5. And I'm always real honored whenever she starts to give us great messages. So I can ask her if she wants to talk a little bit. We never try to force her. If she wants to, then she'll be able to speak to you. And Blue Otter, you can be as gentle as a butterfly.
Sure.
Because this is such a beautiful spirit. And just say hello and introduce yourself. Here's Crystal Rain.
Okay. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, is this Crystal Rain? Can you hear Blue Otter? This is Blue Otter. Can you hear me, Crystal? Hi. How are you tonight?
I love watching you.
Do you? I love you too. Is that right? I can't hear you real well, sweetheart.
Everybody loves me.
I know. I love you. A lot of people love you.
Everybody loves me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people that will be listening. There's a lot of people that will be listening to you. I do too. If you would like to... Well, thank you.
Could you hear her?
I sure could. I wasn't sure when she was going to talk or how long, and so I interrupted. At first, I couldn't hear her real well, And then she spoke. I think she probably said what she was going to say. But she's a remarkable young lady.
She said that God loves you. And she said blessings to all the people out there.
Well, she's a wonderful little young lady.
She said God loves the family. So I thought that was it's quite a beautiful message from a little 2.5-year-old girl. So, yeah, this is one of the things that I think that people are not recognizing is they take a lot of these children and they bring them home and from the hospital or wherever they're born, and they start to just lay them down on the bed and just think that they're just a kid and they don't know anything. But what is needed is that we need to recognize them, who they are, as this beautiful person that has made this earth journey, but not only making this earth journey, but choosing the parents that they're going to be making this journey with. And so each one of them need to be recognized as a person. Just think what it would have been like if we would all been recognized as a person and treated with such great respect and love, and how that would change the vibration of Mother Earth. Well, that's what these young people are coming in. And we've been in contact with people all over the world who have experience the same thing with children that are so phenomenal. They do such beautiful things. Crystal Rain was talking at the age of 6 months, and their first words was love you. I couldn't believe it. My wife and I thought it was a fluke, and she kept saying it over and over again, I love you. and Jacob love you. And she just continues to add words to it. By the time she was 8 months old, she was potty trained. And so these exceptional children are all around us, and what it is people are just not recognizing who they are. You know, we go out and we pray for a great miracle. We say, come on, God, please send us a miracle. And what he did is he sent us his most precious emissaries of love. And now they are spread all over the world. It's not just Native American. It's black, it's white, it's yellow. All the families of the world are experiencing these kind of children. And they don't want to be in the violence, the anger, the fear, the judgment. They want to be in the beauty of things, to be able to come together and to bring back a balance of peace. Scientists are now examining a lot of these children and even saying that their DNA has changed and that they have more strands to their DNA and that they're able to understand and hold a higher vibration of energy than the previous ones who had come. And so this is a great time for change. And I know that the great creator has done all he can to help us, but not, by not interfering, but helping to bring back a sense of order to this world. And these children are the great peacemakers of tomorrow. And they not even belong to us, Brother. They are here. And this little baby told me one time, because I was so proud of her and trying to show all the beautiful things that she could do. One day, as she had just turned two, and she said, Daddy, she says, I know I'm very smart, but she says, I just want to be a baby a little longer because I have so much work to do here. This is at 2 years old. And so we try to hold back a lot of things, too. And we only asked her if she wants to do something and to be able to share, because the whole experience that is happening here is that, as prophesied, we're going to be going through great changes. The world is changing around us. Mother Earth is changing. Even the star charts, things are changing, and everything around us is coming into this beautiful time. People are so afraid that we're coming to the end of our time. I don't believe this, because you see, Creator made this beautiful planet, and he did bring it together to be able to hold such a beautiful balance of energy and love and his compassion that he's given to each one of us, just to take it and destroy it because we can't understand how to live in his sacred dream of peace. I don't see God as one of those vengeance gods, nor do I see him standing up there going, yeah, I'll help you Americans win that next war. I don't believe God is doing that. We've made God a war god. And one of the things that I've found is most people have put Creator, God, out in the heaven, and then they just left him there. And have been trying to do things on their own. And so we need to learn how to bring God back where Creator needs to be, and that's in each one of our hearts. Brother Mackey and I, we were traveling all over the country and doing ceremonies and talks. And you know, one of the things that people wanted most from us was to make them powerful. And we tried to explain to them that this is not what it's all about, that it's not about being powerful. Because we had seen what we have done trying to be powerful. And the Creator gave us a beautiful gift called the power of reasoning. And that gift was given to us so we could make decisions that didn't hurt what was in front of us, beside us, and behind us. And yet, whenever man began to use this great power that had been given to him, he decided to empower himself over the earth, over the nations and their families. And we just about destroyed everything wanting to be powerful. So the message and the things that Brother Mackey and I were doing was not to make people
glad that I chose to be here at this time. The life's experiences that I've had didn't bring me to, I didn't enjoy growing up and the things that was happening to me in my life, but it was, I figured that now I look back at it and I see that every part of it was a great journey.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
OCO is Cherokee for hello. This is Chia Sagonige, also known as Will Bluewater. I'm the International Communications Director for the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. I'm speaking on behalf of the Seven Clans and beloved woman Sharon Rogers, wife of Chief Priest and Principal Chief Charles L. Yatlohi Rogers, M.D., oncologist. Their family discovered the tomb in Mexico of Sequoia, the world-famous inventor of the Cherokee alphabet and the namesake of the Cherokee National Forest in California. The state of Oklahoma was very nearly named the state of Sequoia. Nación Cherokee de México, the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, is known in the United States as the Cherokee Nation of Sequoia of Mexico, Texas, and the USA Reservation and Church. Free of any charge, we are accepting citizenship and adoption applications, not only from Cherokee descendants, but from all people of good heart, from all lineages, just as we did for the 10,000 plus years before the United States government fairly recently imposed restrictions on Cherokee citizenship. Tennessee Governor Sam Houston had not one drop of Cherokee blood, yet he left office and later became Kalanu, or Speaker of Council, second only to Chief John Jolly of the Cherokee Nation West. The Republic of Mexico has recognized the Cherokee four times since the 1700s, and Spain five times before that. We possess original physical copies of all those treaties. In January of 2001, the San Andres Accords, enabling government-to-government tripartite relationships between sovereign Indian nations and the government of Mexico, were passed by the Mexican Congress. A few weeks later, the first such sovereign Indian nation, Nación Cherokee de México, was federally recognized in a solemn ceremony in Torreón, the capital of the state of Coahuila, formerly known as the province of Coahuila in Texas. The ceremony was followed by a fabulous celebration, which was attended by Cherokee elders from all over the Americas, including citizens of the federally recognized Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, people like Squaw Yee, the famed bowmaker Al Heron. There is so much more to share with you, so I encourage you to visit our website at CherokeeDiscovery.com. While you are visiting the website, feel free to fill out a free citizenship application. Please be patient, though. We have no paid staff, and applications may take up to 9 months or more to get processed. If you're not a Cherokee, feel free to request adoption. And please don't forget, tell them Bluewater sent you. Ski. Wado.
All the people that I've heard, all the people that have hurt me and all the things that have happened in my childhood was to help me and prepare me for this work that I was doing at this time. And I never see myself going around the world and becoming a peace elder or to be able to speak about peace, because it was like one grandmother once told me, she says, Yellow Horse Man, she says, one day you're going to walk around the world and speak about peace. And I go, Grandma, you got the wrong guy, because I hate everybody. And she laughed, and she said, that's going to change. You know, I couldn't see that. And you know, years later, that was exactly the work that I was doing. And it was on that journey that I met Brother Mackie Ruka, the Maori elder from New Zealand. There was a grandmother, Cree, up in Canada, and she had a dream that there was a big man who was coming, and she would recognize him by this big staff that he would be carrying. And one day, this, she heard about this lecture that was going to be given, and that there was this Maori elder coming from New Zealand, and he was going to be speaking there in Canada, and I think it was in British Columbia. And anyway, she went, and when she saw him, she just started crying, because Mackie was about 5'8", 5'7", but he was about 400 pounds. And when she saw him, he had this big long stick, and nothing fancy, just a big long stick that he was walking with. And she just started crying, and after the talk, she went up to him and she says, "Oh, brother," she says, "I dreamed of you." And she says, "I dreamed of a time when you would walk around the earth and you would be walking with another elder that that I know that you need to meet. And I dreamed that you would both come together and beautiful things would take place." And Brother Mackie, he's always been listening to all these people that have dreamed about him. And he shook his head, "Thank you, sister, thank you." And he was trying to get away. And so, but this grandma, she was so persistent. She followed him, and she said, "You don't understand. I know who this person is that you have to meet." And Brother Mackie said, "Oh, well, just write his number down or give me his name or something, you know." And so she wrote it down, and it was my name and my telephone number. And so he kept that number in his pocket, you know, and carried it around with him for a few months. And then finally one day, he was telling me later that he found this number in his pocket. He said, "Oh, this is who this grandma said I'm supposed to meet." But she says, you know, he's thinking to himself, "I do everything alone. I don't need nobody. This is my journey, you know." And so then he looked at the number and he said, "Yellow Horse Man, I can get him called." So I got this strange message on my message machine. "Hello, this is Mackie Luca, Maori elder from New Zealand. Someone tell me I'm supposed to speak to you. Where are you, brother?" And click. No telephone number. And then, a few days later, I was home, and I the same voice came on the line, and he says, "Hello, this is Mackie Luca, Maori elder from New Zealand, and I'm looking for Yellow Horseman." And I said, "Brother, this is, my name is Yellow Horseman, and I hadn't been told about this dream from this grandmother." And so he began to expressed it to me and told me that this elder grandmother, and in New Zealand, they really honor who grandmother is, because they consider the grandmother the wisdom keeper, the mother, the builder of man, the sister, the nature of all things. The same as when with the native tribes here, we have a strong connection to the life givers and certainly the great wisdom of the grandmother. And so, Brother Mackie, we spoke for about 5 or 10 minutes, and he says, "Brother," he says, "where are you? I've come to see you." And so I told him. The next day I get a call from him, "Brother, my ride can't make it." He says, "Let me tell you where I am." And so I drove from the town I was up to Seattle, and I found him up there. And you know, I picked him up and we brought him home. And then we talked all the way home, and it was like we were just so close to each other. He says, "Brother, this is great. I never felt like I would like to ask someone to travel with me. You know," he says, "people always travel with me, but none of them I ever asked to travel with me and work with me." And he says, "I would like for you to do that." And I'm telling him, I said, "Well, brother, I have a wife and baby, and this was another wife and baby, and another time period. And but and then finally made a trip to New Zealand with him. And there I got to see the beauty of the matriarch in full bloom. The grandmothers were so powerful and so strong there, and the older their grandma got, the more she was respected for who she was. And so in the Maori tradition, a lot of the men step forward, and they're the ones who look like they're the ones who are doing all the teaching and the ceremony. But if one of them make a mistake, this little bitty grandma from way in the back, sitting on the floor, would get up and she'd walk over and she'd say, "It's okay, darling. You can come back and try it again sometime."
All right.
And, you know, these great big robust Maori men, and they say, "Okay, thank you." And they're off, you know. And it's just so beautiful. People there, they truly speak in from their heart. And one of the things that I seen there that was so beautiful was that the mirage, and here we would call them the longhouse, but the mirage were carved. All the walls are carved from the top to the bottom, and they start to recite all the genealogy of all the races of people going back 500,000 years. Brother Mackie Ruka was one of the few who could recite all the generations. You could name a family, a race, and he would begin to tell the story of where they came from. But not only from where they came from here, but from the star chart to where they had traveled from. It was the most amazing thing. I think Brother Mackie was probably one of the most knowledgeable people I ever met. And I've been with a lot of different people throughout the world, and yet Brother really touched my heart. There was many times that and every time that we went out to do something, there was always some kind of great big lesson to learn with it, because we always had these, I don't know if you ever travel with elders and people, it's like there's always going to be a lesson out there somewhere, and it seemed to always give you something else to look at and to teach you about. And
did he have a lot of tattoos?
Brother Mackie did not have tattoos. He had just a couple on his arm, but he wasn't the tattoo. You know what, Brother? You're very low to me.
Well, I know the their kings are pretty heavily tattooed. I was just wondering, as a holy man, if he was. Tattooed at all?
No, he had. Like I said, he had some tattoos, small ones, and he was saying that there, the ones that there were other people that had those tattoos, and they were in certain clans, and so it wasn't just the holy people that were tattooed. It was a clan that would that he would belong to, but before the British came there, it was they really did a lot of the people were tattooed all over the whole body, the face, the body, because that would also tell the story of the clan. It would be kind of like the totem poles, but that would tell about who they were. And what families they came from, and so like when the British went there, and the British went there to take over New Zealand, and the Maori men fought so hard, and the British was not able to defeat them, so they wanted to get this land. So what they did is they sent for shiploads of mercenaries from all over, and a lot of the so-called Indian fighters Myrie's right off the face of the map. And so when he got there, not too long after he got there, the Myrie captured him. And this time to show the British how fierce, they killed him and then they ate him. And so the British says, okay, that's it. And so the Maori became one of the fewer indigenous people around the world that has a 50-50 partnership with the ones who came there to overpower them. Because they were never defeated. And so they, and then, but they have trees there in New Zealand, brother, that was, it would take 15 to 20 people hand in hand to reach around these trees. They were huge, 3,500-year-old trees. And the British, what they did is they started to cut the trees down, and at that time they were also in India, and so they took the timber from New Zealand, and that's what they built India with. And when I went there to New Zealand, I'm looking around and everybody's saying how beautiful it is, and I'm looking around and I'm going, brother, where's your forest? And he looked at me and he said, they took it all, brother. He said, they took it all. And there was only a few of these humongous trees there. We got to go and visit some of the places there, and we've seen one of these big, huge trees that was there, and I'm telling you, it was just a beautiful sight. Reminds me of some of the old growth forest up in Canada, and different places that I'd seen, but none as huge as this tree. And because it was so, so tall, and yet so huge. And but when we were there, we got to travel around to like I said, to different places. And New Zealand is on a, it's the only country in the world that refused to have any nuclear power to come into their country. No nuclear ships can dock into their harbors, and no nuclear power plants are on the grounds of New Zealand. And how they get their power is from the steam that comes up from the earth. So they're on a volcano. excuse me. They're on a volcano there. The, a lot of the islands and things that were there were built from volcano. And but you can go to places and you can see, like we have here in the Yellowstone. That's a real common thing there, is to have all this steam and stuff coming up out of the ground. But they learned to harness that and to make the power that they need. That was one of the first places that I ate fruit. And when they said their fruit is organic, I could not believe the taste of it.
Kiwi, huh?
No, it was, I mean, every kind of fruit, every kind of fruit, apples and plums and all the things that they grew there was just phenomenal sweet.
And yeah, well, you can go down to Walmart and get some of the apples that are grown down there now.
Yes, I know they have to, but there, when you got them, they were real fresh.
Yeah.
And it was just, I never tasted one so beautiful.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. I guess I was looking on the internet, and that's called the Kauri tree. It's spelled almost like Maori, but with a K. It's K-A-U-R-I.
Right.
It says they have an incredibly hard wood.
And they used to build what they called the waka. It was a great huge canoe, and the Maori tell the story of coming here across the ocean and coming here, and they said they dropped older brother. They called the native people here older brother, and they had dropped the older brother here, and one of the prophecies that was given to them was that one day that they would return and that they would unite with the older brother here, and that they would Firestone. Now there in New Zealand, the Firestone was called, we call it jade. They call it the Ponemon, and the Greenstone. And so that the prophecy was that one day that there had to be another prophecy that would take place before they would bring the Firestone back to Older Brother here and unite with them. And the prophecy, believe it or not, was that one day a man from the moon would come, and he would speak to them about a certain color, and says once this this man comes and he speaks of this certain color, the man from the moon, then that that it would be time to send out the messengers to go around to all the sacred sites of the world and to bring back the Firestone, the sacred stone. And to put it in these sacred places throughout the world. And so, when I forget which one of the astronauts it was, Armstrong or another one, but anyway, one of them that was from Texas. And before this prophecy could take place, there was one that had to take place here, upon this side of the world. And that was when the prophecy was given that when the eagle lands on the moon, then all the things will change and the people will begin to dress like us, to walk like us, to speak like us, to call the earth their mother once again. And so this prophecy happened whenever they supposedly made their journey to the moon. And you know, I said supposedly. And
uh-huh. Then,
hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
And so they, but when they landed on the moon, they could say anything in the world that they wanted to say. But their first words was, the eagle has landed. And so, from this prophecy came the man who walked on the moon, and so he was traveling around the country, and so he went to New Zealand, and the people in New Zealand, the Maori, got really excited because they heard that the man from the moon was coming to speak to them, and so they said that if this man from the moon is actually the one who has made that journey, and has come back to speak to us, he will speak of the color purple. And so they bring this guy in, and everyone in the Maori were going, I wonder what he looks like. And so when they brought him before him, and they were talking in their own language, Brother Mackey said, and he says, he looks like just another white guy. And so they... so anyway, they introduced him, and he begins to talk, and he says, hello, I'm from Texas, and I've come here to share with you about... And so they were trying to translate, and they were giving the translation a kind of a Texas accent. And so the people were kind of laughing, and then all of a sudden he was talking, and they... He says, you know, he says, every time I would pass a certain area, he says, I would look out the spaceship, and he says, there was a color there says, I called back to NASA and they pinpoint and said that it was covering around the area of New Zealand.
Oh my.
And so the Maori people looked at each other and they had the big tears in their eyes, and they knew that it was time to send out some of their messengers to bring out their messages that the world needed to hear. And so and this is how Brother Mackey was telling me the story.
Well, that's amazing, because it was in the late 60s, you know, when 69 when we landed on the moon, and but that was a time of a lot of activity. A lot of elders started teaching.
Right.
A lot of the Hopi prophecies were fulfilled. There was a tremendous flurry of teaching, and then there was also, as was prophesied, there was a lot of the grandchildren of, or great grandchildren of the whites that had killed Indians that were ready to learn.
Right.
And we're interested in native ways, and we're listening.
And that's exactly what happened, brother. And and you know, wherever I've gone, I found where one prophecy ends, another one begins. We are all so closely related to each other. It is so sad that we're not listening to each other, because each one was given a message, a piece to this puzzle. And if we put all the pieces together, we would have no conclusion but that we were just all one sacred family here. And it's like when we pray in our languages, or we pray in the four directions, and we're praying in each one of those directions, and each one representing a race of people. And so it's like our whole families needs to come together to realize that we don't need to squabble or to fight over this land, or to bring any more hardships to people throughout the world, because this is really a time that we need to come together once again as family. You know what is so sad is that we have to have a big tragedy happen before everyone comes together and says, I'm sorry. We have to have people dying before people realize how much they're going to miss that person. We lose sight of that beautiful inner spirit within each one of us that tells us how important each person is on this planet. Like little Crystal Rain, that you just heard her little voice and her sweet little message. Is every person is so important, and every time that we do something and cause the chaos, this is not a time for us to be able to get lost in our own selves, and to be able to destroy Mother Earth, but a time for us to come together and to see that Creator had a great dream, and we are that dream, and each one of us has a time period that we need to walk this earth to be a part of that dream. And so, you know, when we're talking about the leaders of the world, everybody asks me, says, who did you vote for? And I tell them, I says, you know, I haven't voted in my entire life. And they ask me why. And I says, well, I says, in this country, there hasn't been any real leaders for at least 500 years.
Huh. Isn't that the truth?
Because people forget what a leader is. They're not one who embellishes themselves with the hierarchy of not being able to go out to touch the people that they're supposed to be representing. One of the great stories that I heard about Sitting Bull was that when all the wars was happening, he was one of the first chiefs to walk up and to take a man's wife who had not who had lost her husband, and to console her and say, it's going to be okay, sister. Everything's going to be okay, because we're going to take care of you. We're all family. He did a lot of consulting in those times, because there were so many people that were passing and being slaughtered, and yet in this day and time, people forget how tremendously hurt and things that was done to the native people here. Everybody calls this their country, and but this is the home of all the human beings. I think on your message there that I seen on your board, you said that I was going to tell everyone what the human beings was.
Right.
And
before we do that, I promise that you know, for folks that are following along and have an internet connection, if they'd like to go to your website, you're at www.yellowhorseman.com, and you especially wanted children under the age of 18. Then go to yellowhorseman.com/children.htm, I believe, and you wanted anybody under 18 to leave a message about peace.
Yes, I want to tell you about that dream that I had, Brother. I've had a lot of dreams, and this was a very beautiful dream that I had, and I was talking to Great Spirit, and I says, who really believes in you anymore? And the voice was so clear. He says, my children, they're my messengers of peace. And I came out of this dream. I was actually sitting in my car, and had dozed off, and when I came out of this dream, I says, oh my goodness, I says, the children, the messengers of peace, I says, I have to do something with that. So I talked to people about it, and then finally when someone put up a website for me, I never put up that website, someone did it for me. For a year and a half, I never had a computer to look at it. I would only call in and tell them what I would like to put on it. I very rarely got to look at it, but now I have a computer. I still don't operate it too good, but my wife does. But anyway, that dream, I put it on the website so that any young people out there, 18 years and under, can write their message of peace on there, and that is going to be turned into a book to go to help starving children around the world. The peacemakers of tomorrow will feed the world. I love it, and I think that's real important that people would be able to get that message and to help their children to be able to share their message that would bring hope to other children that may not ever have hope in other ways. And so I hope that people out there will be able to go to the website and find that. One of the things that saddens me is that I've had it up there like that for a long time. And I found that people can't even listen to their children long enough to write their message of peace on there or to help them to do that. And so I know that there are a lot of young people, and I've been getting some very, very beautiful messages. I think you got a chance to go and read some of them. And young people from all over the country. And I'm hoping that even throughout the world that there would be children from other parts of the world that can write their message in peace. Because once we have enough messages, the first book will be written. And then the proceeds is going to go to help, like I said, the hungry children around the world. So, thank you for mentioning that, Brother.
Oh. Well, what do you think are the most pressing needs that people have nowadays?
Brother, you are very low.
What do you think the most pressing needs that people have nowadays?
The most pressing needs?
Right.
I would say that one of the things that is needed is that this last millennium that we were in was separation and control. We did that one all too well. And this new millennium is illumination and awareness. And I think that this is one of the things that that we need to come together as families. And this way that we have this system set up, it begins to separate the families at such an early age. When the children are sent away to the school, they separate from their parents. When the parents are off to their work, they separate from each other. Until eventually, there's such a separation in the families that everyone has forgotten what it is truly like to be a family, to really enjoy each other. We rush our kids off to soccer practice, basketball practice, hockey, baseball. We keep them so busy and so preoccupied that we're still not really spending any time with them. People don't sit down to meals anymore. They're always moving and on the go. And in the old times, that was a very sacred thing, was to be able to sit with the family, to eat together, to pray together, to go to spiritual gatherings to be always around and helping each other and being a part of each other's lives. And it's so funny that this linear type system, the first thing that they do is they try to separate you from your spirit walk of who you are. By going into the linear type schools, you sit down into a desk and as a little child, and then you start to dream about who you are. And once you're looking out that window and dreaming of all the things that you're going to do, and someone comes along and says, "Stop that. Get back. Stop that dreaming. Get back to work." And your spirit shocks back in your body, and you look around and all the kids are laughing at you. And this is done time and time again. So pretty soon you forget your dream. I counsel so many people all over the country, and they are trying to figure out who they are. And I'm looking at them, and it's like looking at a lost soul. They do all this work and things, but they really feel like that's not the work they're supposed to be doing. So at a very early age, you're separated. And then 12 years later, in the same school you go, they set you up in front of all the people, and they tell you, "Now you're young adults. Use your imagination and your dream." And everybody's looking at each other. "What dream? What imagination?" "All I know is that there was 42 presidents and 52 states." And brother, it's a separation that is done. And you know, the more that we keep trying to put our families and everybody through this kind of training, the more farther we're going to get behind. And so we need to change that way of learning. I love the way Native people taught. They taught in the oral tradition. You sat and you listened. You watched and you learned. You didn't have to ask many questions because everything was always explained to you. This is how we chose to raise our daughter, Crystal Rain. We explained everything to her. We talked to her like this beautiful person that she is. We put no separation in her family. Everywhere we go, Crystal Rain goes with us. We do everything as a family. And even the work I'm doing, when I'm going out to do talks or lectures or ceremonies or whatever it is that's taking place, my family is there with me. And it's always such a great joy to look and see their beautiful faces right there along with me. Because then I know that we're making this journey together. And I think that this is one of the things that's been a great loss to a lot of people out there who are listening on this line. It's that separation and that withdrawal of who family really is. And I think that this is another thing is that right now throughout the world we're fighting with a lot of health challenges. One of the things that Brother Mackey and I spoke a lot about was that there would be diseases that would be coming back that would be affecting the whole world. And you know, we were talking about the Ebola and also the flesh-eating disease. And not too long ago, Brother, right here in Georgia, not too far away from where we are, there was an elder's home that was affected with this flesh-eating disease, and it started to, and they had to quarantine off these and had to do amputations to some of those elders. But these things are here, and they're very much alive. And why are they here? We created them because we wanted to be able to use them in some other way.
Well, I know they've got some kind of a bacteria that invaded the rivers in North Carolina, and they found out that the reason why the bacteria was growing was because of all the pollutants that were pumped into the river, and they created such a situation that it allowed this red bacteria to grow, and this stuff would actually eat your flesh. There was a book written about it, and I was absolutely astounded.
Oh yeah.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aqua Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the Standard of Sincerity and Vow of Poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Well, this is one of the things that is so crucial here throughout the world. Is you know, like, a lot of the fresh water throughout the world is being destroyed, and this is something that that the Native people had understood is how sacred this water was. In ceremonies, we used the water in a lot of our ceremonies, and we pray with this water because we know that this is the sacred life giver. I was given the task of one time even going out to learn more about what water really meant, and so I learned from the experience of going out, and I learned that the water comes from a place that never empties, goes to a place that never fills, but without the sacred gift, nothing can survive. And you know, we've forgotten how precious this water is, and so we've changed the course of the rivers. We've altered all the land around it, and we put up the nuclear power plants. And you know, like, just when they tell the Native people, we're going to put up this nuclear power plant here up on the Hood River, and it's never going to harm you. And now they tell them, you can only eat one salmon a month that comes up that river because it will harm you. So this is how we have become. We've become so careless with these gifts. And we always talk about the future generations as being our greatest gifts, and yet we're destroying the very life source. And in the beginning of time, we were given the original instructions on how to live here. And those instructions were so simple, is that we would be healthy, we would be happy, that we would be respectful, that we would honor, that we would be generous. All the great teachings that came along behind each one of those. And yet, we have forgotten how to be happy. We're never happy with who we are. We have forgot how to be healthy, because look at our bodies, look at our families, look at around
Yeah, you said Mackie was very heavy. I'm very heavy myself, and you know, obesity is something that's working its way even into societies that, you know, the societies as they become industrialized, they're starting to eat more fat. And, you know, breast cancer, which was unheard of a few years ago in Japan, people are starting to get breast cancer, and they figured out it's because of the fatty diets that we're eating.
Well, this is one of the things throughout the world. You don't have to look very far to find that this problem is one of the biggest problems in the world that we're facing is obesity, diabetes. On Indian reservations, I know that there's a lot of reserves there that are touched with diabetes. And so it's a lot of the diets and things that we have gotten ourselves into, the sugars you know, there's 32 grains in the world that feeds the world. But since we started to put everything in a box, we destroyed the essence of what those grains originally were. And so it's become a fatty carbohydrate diet. And people throughout the world are being touched by this now. One of the things that came across this product and not too long ago, last October, and I was a good 260 pounds or so, for me that was quite overweight because my heart rate was up, my blood pressure was up, I was beginning to look a lot older than I was. People were saying, "Oh, he's a really old elder." And I'm not that old. But I was looking, and they were thinking that I was not going to make it for the next year. But I got on this product, and I've lost 42 pounds. My heart rate has gone down. My blood pressure is down to 116. Over 72.
Outstanding.
I could not believe it. I'm like a young man again.
How'd you do it?
I was taking this product called Calorad.
Oh, I've heard a lot about that.
And Calorad was first introduced from Canada. They had a problem with the chickens laying in 1985. They were getting what was called the fatty liver syndrome. It reminds me a lot of what human beings are getting. The scientists who came up with this formula, and at that time it was a powder, and so they gave it to the chickens, and within 5 days these chickens started laying again, and they lost all this weight, but they were still had the muscle tissue, and so the one who Michelle, who invented this, decided that he was going to try the product on himself. So he did, and for the first little while he didn't notice too much changes. And then one day he realized that his muscles in his chest had pulled back, that he had started to lose inches, but he wasn't losing like a lot of weight. So he went back, he reformulated it, and he came up with this product called Calorad, and now Calorad is being utilized all over the country, thousands and thousands of people. And what it does is has a collagen base to it.
It's a bovine. I guess it comes from cows.
It's bovine collagen base.
Right.
And so that means that it's taken from the hide, right next to the hide. But it's freeze-dried and put through this process that you can't even tell anymore that it came from the bovine, because it's total mineral, the way that this guy figured out how to do this. Now what it does is in the first 90 minutes of your sleep, when you go to sleep, that's whenever your body actually rejuvenates itself, and then it starts to rebuild the tissues, and this is when you take the Calorad is 1 tablespoon 3 hours before you go to bed. You have no food, and you take the joints that I could barely get down and up. My elbow that was had arthritis so bad and everything, and was not able to straighten out my arm. Now it's perfectly straight. I'm so excited. And there's a product out there that actually really does what it says it's going to do.
Well, collagen would rebuild your what do they call it, the cartilage matrix.
That's right. The collagen, your body is made up of 1/3 collagen, and one so that means your eyeballs are all collagen, your brain is collagen, your joints, the hide that's over your skin has that collagen base underneath it. Everything that your vessels, your intestines, everything is made up of this collagen. And so, like, what it is our diet that we have doesn't give us those the minerals that we need to rebuild our own collagen. And so we have to be able to have this come back to us. Now, the native people here used to scrape those hides, and they would put all that stuff in their soup. They never wasted anything. And, you know, like, they were very strong and healthy people.
Oh, yeah.
And so when people came here, that was one of the things that they admired, was the strength and the mobility of the native people here. But they never wasted anything. They always used every part of the animal. And without calling it collagen like we call it today, it was just a great food source, you know, a good energy booster. And that's what this Calorad does, is it boosts up your energy. It helps to rebuild your tissue.
Well, my first wife died of cancer about 9 years ago. My first wife died at age 48, and her mother died in 71 at age 51.
Well,
but before my wife passed away, she became very prophetic and made some statements, all of which has come true, except for one of them. And she said that someday that I would find. Now, folks, I weigh well over 400 pounds, almost 500 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm 6 feet tall, so you know I'm 6 feet tall and 6 feet around the chest and all, you know, 6 feet around the waist. So I'm a very large person. I have a lot of problems with mobility and energy. Never had a lot of energy. But she said that someday that I would find a natural way to lose weight. And from what I remember reading a couple of years ago, that this collagen works with your body, and I think it readjusts your thermostat and your metabolism, and does all kinds of good things for you. But at the time, and even at this time, I thought, well, you know, the price was pretty steep, but you know, it wouldn't be for a lot of people that make more money than I do. But now I understand, you know, you can become a distributor for, say, $10, and you know, and get this stuff at wholesale, and this is going to help a lot of people. And I'm going to be doing this because I've got to lose weight or die, basically.
Well, I understand what you're saying, brother. You know, it's so sad that people will go out and they will actually staple up their stomachs.
That's what my wife is thinking of doing.
So that they don't eat so much and that they can lose the weight. You know, all these other kinds of things that people are doing, and really what they need to do is this is one thing that's really important. Like, when you're taking a product like this, you have to take it the way that it's told to be taken. You can't go to the refrigerator, eat a bunch of junk, and then take your Calorad.
Well, you got to stop eating three hours before you go to sleep?
3 hours before you go to sleep, no food. You take one tablespoon of the Calorad. You can put it in an 8-ounce glass of water. And just drink it down and fall asleep. And that's exactly what I did. And then they have also the AM one. When you get up in the morning, first thing you do is you take a tablespoon of the AM, and so you have the AM and the PM, and an hour before you have breakfast, and then that's it. And you allow the collagen to actually go throughout your body to the places that need it, and then people start to actually lose inches before they start to a lot of times before they start to lose pounds. Now the first month I lost 14 pounds, but I eat a fairly healthy diet. Every once in a while I like a cookie or something. I think that's an elder trip, you know.
Yeah.
I eat mostly all organic, and everything, unless we go out somewhere and we don't have that, then we eat what is there. We work on a pretty healthy way of living, but even that, I've allowed myself to get very run down. So when I came across this product, they had to really convince me that it would work for me. And I had met some people that had been on it for years, and I said, "Well, you don't look like you needed it." And they said, "Oh yeah, but you didn't see me like years ago." Anyway, I listened to the stories, and finally, and I'm not one of those people that take. I didn't take any vitamins. I didn't take anything. I didn't believe too much in endorsing anything, but whenever this, I got on this product, and within the first month, I noticed the 14-pound loss, but I noticed also a difference in my posture, my adjustment that I would usually go to the chiropractor and have an adjustment, and then it would not hold, you know, but since I've been taking the Calorant, even the adjustment by the chiropractor has held so long that he thinks he's out of a job.
Yeah, well, that would make sense because the ligaments would be holding the adjustments in better.
This is one of the things that people can do is people can go to my website website you can find a link and because I'm also a distributor from this company because of the results that I have received from it and like I'm not trying to make any fortune off of anyone. I found something that really works, and you know like I think that's one of the things that we need to know how to do is whenever we have something that really works is to pass it on so that we can touch other people in that way. I call that good medicine.
How do you find the link on your website?
Beg your pardon?
How do you find that link on your website?
If you go to my website, you can go to links.
Oh yeah, and it's under links, just down at the bottom, click on links.
Yes, I think you'll see it.
Yeah, about halfway down.
Yeah.
It's EYICOM.
That's right.
.com, right.
That's right. And the EYI company also has other products out. And one of them is called OxyUp. And that has been phenomenal for people because our bodies are so depleted of the oxygen that we're breathing is so polluted and so poison. So the OxyUp actually gives the body back the oxygen that is needed.
Let me tell you an interesting story. You know, I was looking at this earlier, and I noticed that EYICOM.com sells Agricept, and Agricept is a way to treat candida. Now, let me tell you an interesting story. About 10 years ago, I found, maybe a foot-long piece of Romex wire, which is what they put in houses for wiring.
Uh-huh.
And it had some pretty heavy-duty copper wire in it. And so I thought, oh, gee, that'd be interesting. I said, I understand a lot, you know, people in different cultures, you know, sometimes they'll wear copper bracelets and claim they get some health benefits from it. So I spent a couple hours, I stripped the shielding away and got the copper wire out. The copper wires are maybe an eighth of an inch, you know, and I braided them together. And then I made them into a bracelet, and I was wearing that bracelet for maybe an hour and a half, and I started smelling what I thought was bread cooking.
End of part one. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of part two. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Breath you gave me, glory.